It is my great joy to welcome you one and all this morning to this very special occasion. Why are we here? We are here to witness this morning the union in marriage of Hiapia and Elspeth. We are here to hear their vows before their Lord and to as they commit to one another and also to their Lord. And as we, as the Lord's people and the significant others in their lives, also come together to, in a fresh and a new and in a wonderful way, commit to them. This is why we are here. So you are all so welcome, and thank you for coming. And thank you for you too for coming. Thank you for being here. And I'm sure that you, just like us, as the sight here from the pulpit as Elspeth came down the aisle is always an astonishing sight for a pastor to see. And I wish you could all have been in here when she came down, but I'm sure that already Christ has stirred your hearts, has he not, as we are gathered in this very, very solemn moments. We're going to pray. Shall we pray together? Father, we also want to thank you and welcome you, and thank you for being in our presence this morning, or better put, thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. We thank you, Father, for gathering us as your people, and by your Son, that great shepherd of the sheep, shepherding our hearts and our feet into this place. We pray this morning that everything that transpires will be to the glory of your great name, and to the building up of your wonderful people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to be singing together hymn 103 in our hymnal, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Will you join as you stand and we sing together? Please be seated. Beloved, we are gathered here in the presence of God and before this congregation to join together in holy matrimony Elspeth, Peggy Randall, and Johannes Petrus Krobler in the holy estate of marriage. The Apostle Paul commanded that marriage should at all times and by all people everywhere be approached in a reverent manner. And therefore, marriage ought not to be entered into lightly or inadvisedly, but thoughtfully and reverently, duly considering the causes for which it was ordained. Marriage as a holy estate instituted by God must be held in complete honor. And this is what God's word declares. We read what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 23 to 24. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. So God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God also said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And after God created the helper for the man, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." It's therefore clear that marriage was called into being and blessed by the Creator himself as a divine institution for all of mankind. Marriage has its origin in the wisdom and the love of God, and it serves to uphold social order and law while providing a basis of truth and of holiness for all generations. It's therefore the basis of all social life and works towards peace and happiness for the people and the country. We learn from the history of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he blessed the marriage feast with his gracious presence and performed his first miracle there. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul told us that marriage signifies the mystical union between the bride of Christ, his church, and Christ himself. Because marriage has been instituted and sanctified in such an exalted manner, it is the duty of everyone who enters into it to do so in all humility, to do so in all modesty, and to do so in the fear of the Lord, realizing that the sublime function of married life is to strive towards inner unity, one with another, a unity which can become reality only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say that it can become a reality only in the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because of the realities that we face in this world in which we live, and not just in the people around about us, not just in our enemies, not just in the people that we don't like out there, but inside every one of us, inside of every man, woman, and child gathered in this place today, I remind you, there is great darkness. There is great potential for evil. There is great potential for harm. There is great potential for ruin. There is great potential for great suffering inside of every man, woman, and child inside of this place this morning. It's because of what happened to us in the Garden of Eden. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ can the wonder that he seeks to perform through marriage become a reality in the lives of a man and a woman in holy matrimony. See, the problem that we have is threefold. The first thing is that there is something wrong with our minds. If we look at humanity around about us, we see Well, if we look at ourselves, there is something wrong with the mind much of the time, isn't there? There is confusion. Do some of you get confused at least sometimes? There is negative thought towards life in general and towards other people in particular, is there not? How long does it take you in the morning from when your alarm clock has gone off to before you get irritated for the first time with another human being? Does it take very long? It doesn't take long, does it? And that irritation that you experience so early in the morning is an indication of something that is wrong inside of our minds. Because of the disobedience of our first parents to God. Because they believed the foolish lie of the enemy that with his help they can become their own gods and do better for themselves than God has done for them. So there's a problem with the way we think. That's why I always say to my children and to my friends, don't believe everything you think. I think that's good advice, don't you? Not to believe everything you think. The second problem is with the heart. And if we may call that first one darkness. Darkness in understanding, dark thoughts, just ignorance and confusion and lying to oneself and believing the lies of others. That's what has this devastating effect on the mind that is called darkness. The second effect was on the heart, and we call that depravity. The way we think affects the heart, and pretty soon we start feeling towards others the way we think about them. Isn't that true? It's called depravity. It's dark passions and destructive feelings and bad emotions inside of every one of us. It's a reality of life. But the third problem is one of defiance. Because of that, because of the way we think and the way we feel, we stand up against all authority that is not mine. I stand up to all authority that is not mine. Everything that is against my will, I want to rebel against. Isn't that an instinctive reaction on the part of people? That we want to rebel against everything that is not according to our will. Not according to our taste, not according to our preference, not according to our understanding, not according to our expectations. I need to stand up to that and defy it. Isn't that true? And so this is the threefold problem of humanity: darkness, depravity, and defiance. Now, in the midst of that reality, we have the Apostle Paul coming to us and speaking to us the text that I want to open up to you this morning. And he says something most wonderful in Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 22 forward. In fact, he speaks from verse 15 already, and I want to read to you Ephesians 5 from verse 15. Now, he's speaking to people that he knows are dark in their understanding, depraved in their affections, and defiant in their actions. He speaks to them, and he says the following to them. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I've already highlighted to you the threefold problem that we have, that of darkness, depravity, and defiance. And already, when you look at this text, you see the apostle is addressing all three of them with some really good advice. He's saying, don't be unwise, but be wise. He says, don't be foolish, but understand. He's countering this darkness in our minds. But also, he's countering the darkness in our hearts. He says to us, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. He knows that something in our heart needs to change as well. But he also says, understand what the will of the Lord is, and submit to that. So can you see in this passage, he's giving us the biblical response to darkness, to depravity, and to defiance. Can you see that in the text? Now he comes and he applies it, especially to the marital couple. He applies it to those of us in marriage. You will remember, those of you I've had the joy to join in marital union, I've given you those S's, and some of you have gone and added to them. You remember what they are? Selflessness, sacrifice, sanctification. That's what we see in the text. But I want to open it up further to you this morning. Keep in mind the problem. The problem is darkness. The problem is depravity. The problem is defiance. That's the problem. Now, he comes to the wives and he says to them, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. And to the husband, he says in verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. So there is an instruction to the wife, which is submission. And there is an instruction to the husband, which is to be selfless. Be as selfless as Christ. And he's saying to the wife that as your husband is being selfless to you, as Christ is selfless, so you submit to that selflessness. Now let me point out to you, who is standing in this text in his glorious self? It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's not just giving us advice here. He's not presenting to us a plan. He's not giving us an idea. He's presenting to us a person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So what you need in your life is not just the right things to do, but the right person to be in. You remember what I always tell you? The Bible does not really tell us how to live. For some of you, that'll be new this morning. You will always have thought the Bible is a book that tells us how to live. You know, there's something wrong with you, but you can do better if you live this way, like Islam and like Hinduism and like Buddhism and like the New Age, and stay the way you are and do these things and your life will be better. The Bible is not a book like that. The Bible is not a book that seeks to tell us how to stay the way we are and just live better lives. The Bible tells us how to die so that Christ can live in us. That's the great difference between Christianity and every other religion. It's not a plan, it's a person. It's not an idea, it's a person. It's not a lifestyle, it's a life. It's so different to other religions, isn't it? And this is why he presents to us in this text a person. You must remember, Yepia, you must love like Jesus. You're here giving up yourself this morning. Do you know that? You're giving yourself up like Jesus did. You're stepping into the brokenness. I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. You're stepping into the brokenness, my brother. And you're stepping into the healing. Together you're stepping into the brokenness and into the healing. If you walk in the Lord, if you walk in Jesus, if you always look to Him as your Redeemer, here's what the text is telling us. The main thing to the husband is selflessness. Christ, like Christ, the husband is to be selfless. What does that mean? Philippians 2. He did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself and became nothing. He stepped into the brokenness. He stepped out of glory into the brokenness. He could have stayed in heaven and said, I'm not going down there. Look at the mess. Look how it is. Look how they blaspheme you, Father. Look how they kill one another. Look how they fight. Look how they strive and hurt one another. Do you have any idea what they'll do to me if I go down there? He didn't say that. He came, emptied himself, and came into the brokenness, totally, totally selfless. No thought and regard for himself, but into the brokenness to bring the sacrifice of himself. But I get to that in a moment. So you see, Yepir, that's your part. You know that both of you are sinners saved by grace alone, don't you? Just like me. Just like all of us. Those who are saved. You know there's some realities waiting for you, don't you? You know that. It's brokenness. But as the representative of Christ in your marriage and in your family, you're stepping into it selflessly as he did. That's your role. And your role is to submit to that and the healing that Christ wants to bring into your family as your husband represents him in your family. Here's what happens then. There's three things that we see. Look at what the Bible says to us in verse 22 of chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. And is himself, listen to this, is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. He's the church's Savior. And as our Savior, I think I have taught you well so far. He is our... Yes. He's our prophet. What else does he? He's our priest. What else is he? He's our king. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king. And that's who we need to dispel the darkness, the depravity, and the defiance. As our prophet, he dispels the darkness, fixes our minds. As our priest, he fixes our hearts and our lives and our characters. And as our king, he rules our lives. And it's all in the text. Let me point it out to you. All three the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the text before us. Let's find the first. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave himself up for her. That's the incarnation. Stepped into the brokenness, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Part of his selflessness was his sacrifice. That's the giving up of himself. He made the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. As the sacrificial lamb, and as the high priest presenting it to God. That's the priestly of our Lord, is his sacrifice and his selflessness. Now notice the prophetic. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. There's the prophetic. Do you see it? She'll become more and more beautiful. So will your marriage, as you minister the word in your family and in your marriage. Minister the prophetic. What does the Lord say? What are we going to do next? Where are we going to go? What does the Lord say? Where is his word? What does his word say? Can you see that? Their sacrifice and their sanctification. And it all ends in splendor. The real, the royal, the glorious, the wonderful. Here it is. So that, that's his purpose, so that he might present the church to himself. Here it is. In splendor. That's where he's going with this. Every one of you gathered here this morning, I don't know how long you've been married, maybe it's a while, maybe it's been a long time. You know where God is going with your marriage, where he wants to go? Splendor. He wants to make it the most splendid thing. The bride of the Lamb. Glorious Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Apple of God's Eye, the King of Glory, and his bride, and the splendor of that. It's what he wants to have in your marriage, the splendor of his marriage with his bride. Look, he says, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and blameless and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. So I hold up to you those three aspects here: the sacrifice, the sanctification through the word, and the splendor in which it ends. There you have all three the aspects of Christ our Redeemer: the priestly, which fixes the heart. It'll clean it out. It'll reshape your character to what it needs to become. Anybody here in need of that still today? Is there anybody here who feels, oh well, it's not really for me, I'm cool the way I am? No, you're not. Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, the way I am inside is just because of the way people are around me. You have no idea what I have to put up with every day with other people. Have you seen the other people in the traffic? I'm the only guy who can drive. You've seen the people at the place where I work? They're horrible people. You have no idea what it's like to put up with those people that I work with. Have you seen some of those ear shapes? How irritating that is? Listen to me this morning. It's not them. It's you. It's not the other people. It's you. And you cannot change other people. But if you submit to Christ, he can change you. And you really do need a change. We love the both of you. You know that. Do you know that? Yeah, you do, eh? We love you. You're a blessing to us. But let me tell you this, never forget that his work in you is not complete. You need to change. There's a lot that Jesus wants to fix inside of you. And it's going to get in your way as you go into this marriage. It's going to get in your way in countless ways. Then you must let him fix it. He's your priest. Don't try to fix her. Don't try to fix him. I have this wonderful old 30-year-old flute, a Sankyo Prima from Japan. It's a beautiful instrument. And I once took it to somebody who doesn't know how to fix flutes to fix it for me. And it came back sounding like a penny whistle. Terrible. Even the basset hound noticed. Something wrong with the flute. Let Jesus do the fixing. He knows how. He really does. And he wants to. And when the confusion comes, always turn to the Word. Turn to the Word. Be sanctified through the Word. And you'll be without spot or wrinkle. Don't listen to the world's ideas. Don't listen to feminism. Don't listen to chauvinism. Don't listen to postmodernism. Don't listen to any of the isms out there. Listen to Jesus. He really knows what he's talking about. Amen? He really does. It's one of the things I love about Jesus. I've never heard him talk nonsense. Amen. He really knows what he's talking about. Why doesn't the world get that? Why doesn't the world listen? Why doesn't the world listen up and just get it for a moment? He knows what he's talking about. Let him be your prophet. Let him be your priest. And then let him be your king. Yes, Lord. With joy, Lord. It's a difficult thing I'm asking you. Difficult thing that I want you to do here. Will you do it? Yes, Lord. Give me the strength. Give me the will. Give me the resolve. Yes, Lord. It's a difficult thing I'm asking you to give up here. It's going to leave a huge big gap in your life for a while. This thing that I'm asking you to give up, will you give it up? Yes, Lord. Yes. Does this make sense to you? Sacrifice, sanctification, which will end in splendor. It's different to their S's, can you see? They added one. What, suffering or something? Survival. It's a good one. It's a good one. But all these S's in this text is actually just the Savior, isn't it? Our prophet, our priest, and our king. Listen to him. Get from Christ as your prophet, your information. I think you can already complete that on your own. That brings you to transformation through Christ as your priest, which leads you to conformation to Christ as your king. That is the Christian life. And you're going to need it in your marriage. Amen. We're going to move straight into the taking of the vows now. I need to ask you a couple of questions and then have you Take your vows before the Lord and to one another make your promises. Now remember, a wedding is the making of a promise. You're making a promise this morning. A marriage is a lifelong keeping of that promise. That's what marriage is. Okay? So you must listen carefully to the promises this morning. Now, in the presence of Almighty God as witness, He who knows our hearts and will reveal every secret on the day of judgment. And in the presence of this congregation, we call upon you to answer in turn the following question. First, you, Jeppe. Do you, Johannes Petrus Grobler, declare that as far as you know, there is no lawful impediment to your proposed marriage with Elspeth Peggy Randall here present, and that you call all here present to witness that you take Elspeth Peggy Randall as your lawful wife? How do you answer? Yes. Elspeth. Do you, Elspeth Peggy Randall, declare that as far as you know, there is no lawful impediment to your proposed marriage with Johannes Petrus Grobler here present, and that you call all here present to witness that you take Johannes Petrus Grobler as your lawful husband? How do you answer? Yes. You may take one another by the right hand. And if we can ask Peter to join us with a ring, and can see he's eager, been waiting for it all morning. You owe him. You would have gotten it wrong if he didn't tell you. Well, we trust that this ring will be a symbol of your unchanging and pure love for one another. We move now to the taking of the vows. To you first, Jeppe. Do you take Elspeth Peggy Randall to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together according to God's holy ordinance in the holy estate of marriage? By the grace of God and to His glory, will you love her, care for her, protect her, and honor her, and support her for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep only unto her for as long as you both shall live? How do you answer? Yes. Elspeth Peggy Randall, do you take Johannes Petrus Grobler to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together according to God's holy ordinance in the holy estate of marriage? By the grace of God and to His glory, will you love Him, care for Him, honor and obey Him, in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, in prosperity and adversity, and forsaking all other, keep only unto Him for as long as you both shall live? How do you answer? Yes. You may now exchange the rings. On your solemn pledge, sealed by the giving and receiving of a ring, I declare that Johannes Petrus Grobler and Elspeth Peggy Randall, here present, have been lawfully married. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I exhort you to remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for these solemn moments in your presence. We sense the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning, and we thank you for that. Lord, and I pray first of all for Jeppe, and I ask, Father, that as he seeks to fulfill this difficult role of emulating his Lord's selflessness, that you will give him great wisdom, a pure heart, and a strong will, Father, we pray also for Elspeth, that as she receives the healing power of our Lord and also is used of our Lord to bring that about in her husband's life, that you will give her wisdom, that you will give her a pure character, and that you'll give her a strong will to always do the will of God. We pray for them, Father, and we ask that you give them wisdom and strength, and that you sanctify them by the word. We pray for their families. We pray this morning for Clive and Elise, Lord, as they are here with us this morning. We thank you for them. And we pray, Father, that you give them the great grace of enjoying the union of their daughter in marriage with Yepia. Give them great grace in this. Give them wisdom to also be a good example to their children. We pray for Johan and Linda, and we thank you for them. Lord, we pray also for them for wisdom, and we pray that you help them to continue to set a good example to their children. We pray for ourselves as a congregation this morning. We ask, Father, that you help us to love them and to always take care of them and be loyal to them, to be their friends, to be their family. And we all pray together this morning that you forgive us all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. This we ask in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen. Can you two just turn around before Yepia sings? Friends, I present to you Mrs. and Mr. Hrobla. Now you may kiss your bride. Yepia is going to sing a song for us.
Pray to God to give me someone, and in my heart I always knew that in God's time and in God's way it would be someone just like you. I could not love you as I ought to if not for grace of God alone, a love that never fails or falters, a love that never seeks its own. Only God could love you more, though I pray that I'll adore you as much. You will always be so much more than I could pray for. May I learn to be the man God wants me to be, as God still loves you more. May our lives be to God's glory, in everything to seek His face, so that wherever we may journey, we will abide within His grace. And may we run the race together with faith, endurance, living hope. And one day we'll be with our Father, and then forever we'll be home. Only God could love you more, though I pray that I'll adore you as much. You will always be more than I could ever pray for. May I learn to be the man God wants me to be. As God still loves you more.
Let us stand and sing together, "Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer." Savannah, who will be singing us this song as well.
Trust that fears nor pain, nor death. Grant them the joy which brightens earthly sorrow. Grant them the peace which calms all earthly strife. And to life's day the glorious unknown morrow that dawns upon eternal love and life. Hear us, O Father, gracious and forgiving, through Jesus Christ, thy co-eternal Word, who with the Holy Ghost by all things living, now and to endless ages are adored.
We are here today, and we're going there, because the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. And he will always be our shepherd. Shall we stand and sing to his glory? Beloved in Christ, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen.